The devil knows how to handle a real zealous fellow. Nobody is calling most people's zeal into question, especially fasting, praying people. It's just the devil knows how, if he can get you off one degree, he'll get you to beating the air. Your zeal's not in question. He just has to lead you off where you spend your life in what is not producing. Now, when he gave me the worship limb, when I went out under the power that day, and he said, "You don't know much about worship." And I'd been on a certain day of fast, and I started protesting. I said, "About fasting?" He said, "Fasting cannot give you what worship does. Neither can worship give you what fasting does." And then old fasters went through me, men I knew that fasted 2 40-day fasts a year. Yet they were not anywhere near the greatest ministries I've ever seen. He says, "So is this when a man puts all his faith in one key." There was other areas of their life, he told me, I could not get to. I said, "If I was guilty, God, I would be guilty of holding the key of praying in tongues above every other key." And that's when he said to me, "Son, what's the first giftings you receive from me upon your baptism?" I know my own teachings. Said, "The moment I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I feel the eighth operation of God, which is listed in the chapter you turn to. Diversities of tongues. Can you fulfill apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, a helps, a government simultaneous with your rebirth? You may put yourself in those offices, but generally you'll not fulfill them supernaturally. Which one do I fulfill supernaturally? The same second, if I want it, that the new birth floods my spirit. What gift can I operate in as supernatural as raising the dead doesn't originate with me instantaneous with my rebirth, like Antioch or to Cornelius' house?" It's tongues. Fortunately, he told me, "You chose the key, the only key that would not have made you lopsided. Praying in tongues is a revelation key. It caused the birth of the born-again trail in me that all the other limbs are supported by." So I get into worship, and he used the advantage of his presence on me for those hours to start illuminate the difficult, dark areas that I would not want to take into the great judgment seat of Christ. I'd just soon face his presence now when I'll be rewarded then. So he started showing Matthew the degree off and that kind of thing. So I understood what he was saying to me because my zeal. If it's off in legalism, then you end up as a monk in a cave somewhere, trying to get God to do something that can only be done by grace. Well, it's okay to be legalistic if you want to about praying in tongues and worship, those things, because they'll produce grace. But there's certain things you can't be legalistic over. Anyway, in my legalism, I'm prone to condemn myself from time to time because the estimation that I believe of myself, I always fall short of where I should be or where I should not be. Nevertheless, if I'm off a degree in legalism and grace, so now he's teaching me the things that I need to give myself to produces the grace that produces his standing. His, not mine. Nevertheless, the more I worship him, the more I'm finding out. And now God's treating me like I'm already supposed to be there where those programs were done. One of my degrees of legalism was attacked severely. When I went over to Brazil, when I was dying for the love of money, dying of it, I wouldn't receive offerings in Brazil, and I wouldn't hand envelopes out for this building. I just stood there and blatantly believed God. Here I am sitting over there. Edenero begins, and he says, I know that he doesn't want anything from Brazil. I know that, but I'm going to do this. And he proceeds with receiving me an offering. I started to get up and stop him. Started to get up and say, oh, no, no. And the Lord rebuked me. It was horrible. Now, I'll use my interpretation. Why don't you just sit back down and be quiet? He says, and why don't you get rid of some of that false humility? You're a degree off. He said, what do you want to do? Stand out there and say, oh, no, no, so they'll worship you? What do you want, boy? He said, if you really want something other than what they were giving you, if you really wanted it, he said, you'd receive the offering and then you would have went and gave it to some need privately without anybody knowing about it. Now, wouldn't you, boy? So let's talk about works versus grace in a very dangerous area, shall we? Is anybody having a good time? I'm only dragging you along as much as he will let me. Where do we get into the heavy stuff? Do you love me? Yes. You will need to follow very closely. Follow closely. Pay attention. God's treating me like I know something. I'm supposed to be somewhere. I'm going to treat you the same. Turnabout's fair prey. Beginning with 12 and 1, very closely. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. I know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols that couldn't speak, even as you were led by devils. Wherefore I give you to understand, now that you serve the living God, he speaks. He's not like these dumb idols. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And the way they do that is by saying that he didn't go to the cross for your sins. That no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. He says, now there's diversities of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit that operates the diversities of gifts. And there's difference of administration, that's callings, apostle, prophet, teacher, but the same Lord. So the Holy Spirit operates the gifts. Jesus separates you to your callings. There's a diversities of operations. An operation of God, like an apostle, is a combination of the nine gifts in the calling. But it's the same God which worketh all the nine gifts and all the callings. Sixth verse. When he said he didn't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts, he was not just talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit. That's all we preach out of that. But he also did not want you to be ignorant of the callings or the operations of God that Jesus separated you to. Every one of you is called to one or more of these callings. Apostle, prophet, teacher, he lists them here. Every one of you is called to fill one or more of those offices. Beginning with the 27th verse. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. God set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and finally the eighth operation, the diversities or the different supernatural manifestations of that supernatural language of God. Tongues just means languages. Sometimes we say he's spoken the language of tongues. We're actually saying he's spoken the language of languages. Used as in he spoke the Hebrew tongue. It is old King James English. What this is saying is diversities, different operations of supernatural languages uttered by the Holy Spirit through your spirit, including the one from heaven that you use for your own personal prayer life, the language of edification. Well, in this lineup of eight operations, I want you to notice that he listed them as they come into existence in some kind of order of operation and effectiveness. He said first he placed apostle, second prophet, thirdly teacher. After that, the workings of miracles and gifts of healings that encompassed pastor and evangelist. All that means is entry level to fivefold, as listed in Ephesians 4. He ascended on high and gave gifts to men, apostle, prophet, pastors, evangelists, teachers. But he left pastor and evangelist out and replaced it with workings of miracles and gifts of healings. For the basic information of pastor and evangelist, one stands there and teaches and preaches, and the other one moves from place to place and teaches and preaches. But he replaced them with miracles and healings, and what he was saying is entry level into fivefold should be qualified by those two gifts.
Well, my pastor said,
not accompanied by those two, then you're a Holy Ghost filled glorified exhorter. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Well, I'm called to teach.
Teacher is even higher than apostle, higher than pastor and evangelist. It's up above the workings of miracle and gifts of healings.
I'm just called to be a teacher.
My God, then not only are you used in miracles, you can explain how you're used. Because you're a teacher.
Well, no, I'm just called to teach on it, not to operate.
You're called to cop out using language to explain why. That came in existence in order. Why? You mean the teacher? Yes. Benny Hinn has workings of miracles. It's wonderful, isn't it? But one call higher is the teacher, fully qualified. He's come to maturity of his gift. It's one thing to be Benny Hinn, go from city to city, just miracles causing hundreds of thousands to be saved. But it's another thing to land in a city, and when you leave, you've taught everybody how to receive those miracles themselves and operate in them and loose those guys on the next city. Huh? That's the difference. And when you're ready for your first flight, when the instructor takes his hands off the yoke of the airplane. Now, a yoke for some of you is the steering wheels on the plane. And there's two of them. One on the passenger side and one on the driver's side. Why? Because if I'm teaching you to fly, and I say, okay, you take it. And all of a sudden, and I was the passenger guy, I'd start screaming, take the yoke out. Take the yoke out. He said, man, I don't fly these things. I just teach on them. The other pilot, he parachuted out. See that little white dot going down? Yeah, that's our death. Yet, when we get to helps and governments, tell me, the way helps and governments is taught in church, tell me, would you teach on prophet first and then put the apostle under him? I don't think so. Yet helps and governments is listed in such a way that helps comes first and then governments. And there's a slash between the two that separates them. Why would helps be a priority gift? The way it was taught to me for 20 years is the government is the smart fellow. He reads the schematics and the blueprints. He's an organizer. He understands organization. But the helps, after the guy unfolds the schematic, he finds out where to dig the first hole, he calls the guy with the shovel. But why are they listed backwards? Did that ever bother anybody else? Well, when I found out what helps was, ineffectiveness, when you clear the fivefold, ineffectiveness, helps is much more powerful than government. Well, I didn't know where to find what I was hearing in my spirit. There's much, much more to this gift, obviously, than you understand. Well, I didn't know where to hear, to confirm what I was hearing. I kept listening to my spirit, but the things that I was hearing wasn't make much sense going against 20 years of pre-programming. Wasn't making much sense. I know. It is God's will to bless everyone extremely and for you to bless people in need. I know it's His will to give you as much as your flesh will let you receive. I know that's His will. But even though it's His will to testify everyone to everyone, it's not His will for everyone to preach. And even though it's His will for all the fivefold to preach or teach, it's not His will for everyone to be an apostle. And everyone to be a prophet, there's a separation that takes place. So even though I'm beginning to understand helps now, I know that He wants to bless you just as much as your flesh can be stood to be blessed. If you're blessed out of season with your flesh, then usually your flesh will take that money and rule over you like some penny, any little penny-faced weakling being dragged along by some ring in your nose to gratify your flesh. I think that about does it. Wouldn't you say? The flurry of explanatory words. So See, he wants to bless you as much as your flesh can stand current standing. But then there's a calling. That these guys are called by God to become a great big fat funnel siphoning hose and to go get all the world's money and support the whole gospel with it. They're out there. They're the entrepreneurs. They're the James Bond of finances for the body of Christ. These guys, they're the epitome. Their minds is pickled in the anointing. And they live for one reason. That's to pay big mouths to get the world saved. Lay so much treasure up on their account that when they walk into heaven, you'd think it'd be John Wayne's Safari Trip trophy room. They're the entrepreneurs for the kingdom of God.
Which calling is listed down there then, Brother Robertson?
Just soon as he cleared 5-4, helps. Helps. Let me tell you where I found it first. Not in the Greek. I found it first when he whispered in a mystery to me, "Son, your answer," he said just as plain, "your answer is in Romans 12. Last time he said anything like that to me was when I was preaching on the stripes, not rightly discerning the Lord's body. He says, "This is my body which was broken." And I found out the stripes was talking about the broken body, and it healed him from controversy. And when he wanted to tell me why they were not healed for not rightly discerning the Lord's body, he wanted me to know the strife healed them from lack of peace and torment and division and strife. But he said, "Your answer is under the law." And I went back to Deuteronomy 25, and he says, "There's a controversy between two men. Go before a righteous judge. The one that's judged wrong by the righteous judge is laid down, takes up to 39 lashes," which is Isaiah, 54 says, "Chastisement, my lack of peace was upon him, and with his stripes I was healed." Well, Jesus went before the righteous judge, which was God, because he took my place, was judged in my place, took maximum penalty, 39 lashes. Now he's saying the same thing, only it's about the helps. He said, "Son, your answer's in Romans 12. Well, I found it. Watch. Beginning with verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living sacrifice, like I taught you in Romans 8. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world anymore. Transformed by the renewing of your mind to find the perfect will of God that I called you to fulfill in the body of Christ." How do you know that? Later. Later. "For I say, through the grace given to me," that's the grace for my calling, "to every man that's among you, think of me not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Think soberly according to God's dealt to every man the measure of faith." You were called to your office, given the measure of faith for it, and separated to it by the grace of God. You have faith for it. Why? Measure's part of a whole. You have the faith for your calling. I have the faith for mine. The measure of faith, and all the measures working together make one whole. Devil stomping, mountain moving, body of Christ. You have the measure for your call. Don't tell me you can't call it. That's what your reward's based on. You go stand before him, your reward's going to be what you did with the measure, because he gave you enough faith for your call. No, I didn't. Yes, he did. You just didn't equip yourself for it. You had the faith for it. Don't tell me you don't. He delivered you the measure for your call. Don't tell me you don't. That's what we reward.
What if I do nothing?
As long as you're saved, you get in. Well, he went on to say, fourth verse. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same grace or office. And we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts according to the gifts, according to what? The grace that separated Paul to his apostleship is the same election in choosing a God that separated you to yours. So he said, we have gifts according to what? Gifts differing according to what? According to what? Not my choosing, God's grace. He separated my calling and you to yours. I didn't even choose it. He did. So he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You think you put yourself in your office. Then he gave you the measure of faith you need to fulfill it. Having then gifts, he said in the sixth verse, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, then he starts listing gifts and callings together. Just like 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. If your gift is differing and you're called to operate in prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, any of the callings to ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or the teaching call, or he that teaches, let him wait on teaching. How do I wait, Brother Roberson? You don't sit around in a chair and quit your job, I can tell you that. You wait on God like a waiter would wait on the table. How, though? That's what those first verses, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, according to Romans 8, offer yourself to the mind of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find it all. Well, he that teacheth, let him wait on teaching. How do I wait? By offering your body a living sacrifice with the power of the Holy Spirit. Or he that exhorteth, let him wait on exhortation. And now notice this, eighth verse, very closely. Here's your sixth and seventh operations right here in the eighth verse. Sixth and seventh operations in the body of Christ, which is helps and governments. Here they are listed in the same order. On he that exhorteth, on exhortation, and he that giveth helps. Let him do it with simplicity. And here comes the governments. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy while he rules with cheerfulness. Now, I want you to notice when he explained the operation of the gift, he substituted the word helps for he that giveth. And notice he substituted governments for he that ruleth through the organizational skills. Did he not? Hallelujah. This is getting good. Well, now, Brother Roberson, this helps thing is really, yes, sir. Then I finally went to the Greek. You like these? Some of them's okay. I just stay away from their explanation usually. I wish they'd just stick to the facts, ma'am. Hallelujah. Then transfers the discussion from people to gifts, miracles, healings, and tongues have been discussed earlier. Helps is a ministry not found elsewhere. It's only listed once with no help. So they didn't know what to do with it. So they were forced to stick close to the Greek meaning. What a shame. It appears, why bother go here? came here for facts. It appears to be those who have compassion and ministry to the sick and weak. Said it appears to be those who have compassion and ministry to the sick, weak or helpless, in some fashion. Special persons without set offices may render special assistance in needy cases. There are those who parallel He giveth in Romans 12:8 and helps that He ruleth with governments. So they messed it up a little bit. As close as they could get. It appears to be those of means that can, outside of all the other gifts, that appear to be able to render some kind of assistance in certain cases, you know. Appears. Well, when he handled giving, he handled it different than prayer, and he handled it different than fasting. And there's no wonder. When it comes to money, it carries such power that it's unparalleled. If there's anything that's in your flesh, that sudden money will let out. It's coming out. That he handled prayer and fasting different than he did the man that gave. And Jesus handled it and taught on it in Matthew 6. Let's glean a little bit from that, and then we'll stop. Matthew 6. Beginning with the 5th verse. Now notice how you handle prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Matthew 6:5. When thou prayest, they shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets. They may be seen of men, truly they already have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and thou hast shut the door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret will reward thee openly. And notice the standard he set here. He was actually dealing with the motives of the heart. Well, let's go and look at the standing he set for fasting in the 16th verse. Moreover, when you fast. Now, what I like about this, he handled fasting just like prayer. He didn't say, when he moved on you to fast. He said, when? Well, he moves on me to pray. Is that the only time? Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance. Are you eating? No. Oh, why not? I'm just not. Oh, well, really, is there anything wrong? No, really, you and I. Yeah, well, what is it? I wasn't going to say anything. Did my sad countenance give me away? But I'm fasting. Oh, we're sorry. In the first fast I went on, thank God that He has grace in the ignorance of childhood. I'd follow a kid on the tricycle around. Hey, Look at me, I've been fasting. You don't want to know, I did for God, I went without eating. They disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Well, they have their reward. They're going to be hungry and disfigured. Horrible. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which sees in secret, he shall reward you openly. And I like the next verse, and don't lay the treasures up on earth. Lay them up in heaven. Hey, in these two, fasting and prayer, he said, if you're in the public, wash your face. Don't appear to men. Don't even act like you're fasting. He sees. The same with prayer. I like that. Enter the closet and pray. And you know, there's a way to operate around all of that that's acceptable. You know, that there's a spirit also that wants to go. I tell you, I've been to a few intercession conventions. Most of them weren't praying. They were riding on the teaching of prayer. Anyway, he said, enter a closet. In both situations, he said, to remove yourself from anything, anyone, that all that you do is before God and God alone, and he'll reward you openly. And the only one that he varied from that is on your giving. He varied from that standard. He got harder. Back up to the first verse. Take heed. That you do not your alms before men. To be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Well, that must have been pretty bad. What are you going to do, boy? I'm about to give. God, this is bad. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may glory of men. Truly, I say to you, that cost them a lot of money. But when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he himself shall reward thee openly. There's no ifs or buts about the reward. Do you notice that? Now the others said to remove myself from other people. Close the door. Did he not? See in secret. Reward. All I have to do is remove myself. But when it came to giving, he said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Now, it's easy to enter into a closet and close the door. I'm on one side of the door. You're on the other. Everything I do is in secret. But when it came to giving, he said, don't let my left hand know what my right hand's doing. So what do? Separate myself from you, you know, into the closet and close the door on what? My hand? Oh, God! I have to, sorry, hand. I've got to leave you outside. You can't know what I'm doing. God, help me. What kind of deal is this? Now, I can understand shutting myself off completely from you. How do I shut myself off from myself? I'm not supposed to let my left hand know what my right hand's doing. What he was saying, when it comes to money, it comes to giving, you can't trust even your own flesh. He didn't call the love of money the root of all evil for no reason. And he said, men that are supposing that godliness is gain is destitute of truth. He said, godliness with contentment is the gain. You brought nothing into this world, and materialistically you will bring nothing out of this world. And the next world that you come into, it would kind of be nice to have something there. It's the treasure he was talking about in the next verse. How do I do this? Can't trust my own flesh. Helps and governments were separated. / Why? It was a separate ministry from governments. Just so undoctrinal, untraditional. Why? Well, if you go more extensive into the Greek, it says this person seems to be a person of means. Comes along a side. Now, think. He separated the two, especially helps from governments, because when it comes to the flesh, there's a lot of temptation. That's why he said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I've been around a lot of wealthy men. They're men of power. When they say something, they expect you to do it. When they approach airports, and I'd park my plane out there, two accountants couldn't even keep up with them, running along behind with ostrich skin briefcases. This guy made them rich. I want to stand up to the door and open it for him. And I would have probably if the accountants wouldn't beat me to it. They project that kind of authority. They rule over an entire domain. People come, they go, they do what they tell them. He separated helps from governments because a man with that kind of power, he would have the tendency to want to rule the government and rule the pastor and rule the church. And for your own safety, you need to not trust your own flesh when you let it go. Let it go. Is anybody having fun? It's an amazing thing to me that there's a calling like that. In this, he said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You can't trust your own flesh. And God wants to bless everybody, and he'll give you as much as he can give you. These are they that were sown among thorns. Deceitful, the riches sprang up, choked the word of God out of them, and when the word in you was destroyed, that's the last time he blessed you.
But I am blessed.
A man who's in control by his money is not blessed. You just don't know it. In 50 years, that's you and I talk. Blessed. He said, deceitfulness of riches entering in choked the word. It became unfruitful. That's the last blessing. You think that God can pour money out on you to your own spiritual destruction? cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, the three levels, the final takeout. So what he said to me from worshiping and understanding my degree off in several areas, started to jump up, oh no, just take this up, give it to him, give this to this man. He said, why don't you just be quiet and sit back down. He said, you just go ahead, if you're that humble, receive it and give it to somebody without anybody knowing. Did we ever tell what we know? No, no, no. He wasn't saying that. He was talking about the ability of the flesh to control you and want to control everybody else. That's what he wanted to kill. But I do advise on any spiritual level not to discuss your affairs with anyone unless they're on the same level that you're walking. Hallelujah. All they will do is just take the information and destroy you with it. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time?